praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to thank God for all our visitors who are here. We welcome you to St. Timothy.
Amen.
And we pray that you are enjoying yourself thus far. Amen. It is a blessing to have you with us in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all, pardon me as I do some glasses adjustment here. I've been trying to get used to prescription glasses, which I have not needed. Thank the good Lord. So I got a lot to be grateful for, don't I?
All right, man.
Amen. But it is a test to get your mind set right.
Amen.
Amen. Without further delay, we're going to go right ahead. I want to remind you about the forms that you got. Make sure you fill them out, seal it up in an envelope with your name on it, so that we can have pertinent information that we need in case of any emergency or anything of that sort. Amen. And we will take good care of your information and make sure only we have it. Those who are in the ministry in that area will have access to it. Amen. All right. So having said that, let us go right ahead. Now, y'all know we've been making preparation to turn the corner, kind of. We've got a theme that we've been running with for the year, which was put in my spirit in prayer when I asked God about discipleship. Because he said to his disciples after he gotten out of the grave and defeated the grave, which is about the scariest thing in life. And Jesus defeated the grave and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And he's the only one who can say that.
The only one.
Nobody else got up out the tomb and stayed out. He bought some folks out before he went to the tomb. We talked about that last week. How he called Lazarus up out the grave after 4 days. And everybody said, after 4 days, boy, he stinketh. His own sister said, don't open that stone.
I know that, right.
And the fact is, he told her, if you have faith, if you can believe, all things are possible. Open the stone, roll away the stone. And then he called Lazarus to come forth. He said, loose him and let him go. Get him out of that sarcophagus you got him wrapped all up in there. Amen. He did. He was made whole. And I've said myself, based on the hostility that came from the people who hated Jesus, that they were really on a mission then. They said, my, you know, he looks better than he did before he died. And he's sitting there eating the whole meal and enjoying his food with Jesus. So now both of them got to go. We got to get rid of both of them. Okay, there's no way we can maintain this phony religion we got going on if he's doing that. No way.
No way.
But Jesus loved them, and he wanted to show them before he went to the cross that I love you and I have all authority in heaven and earth. I can do anything but fail. There, I came and defied everything that you know that was an obstacle against you. Demons, disease, bad weather, everything. And he took care of all that just to display the glory of God.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that a little in the message today. But what I was saying is that what does that mean when he got up out of the grave with all that authority? And he told his disciples, he said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Make disciples. That's what that means. So I was praying, well, disciples, Lord, okay, that means learners. The word in the Greek means learners. So God is just calling you to be a learner.
Yes.
He didn't say you need to be a rocket scientist. You need to already know all kinds of stuff. No, just be a learner.
That's it.
He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. Right? Matthew 11:28. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm going to take the load off of you. I don't want you to be worried. Let not your hearts be troubled. How many times did he say that? Don't be worried. That's what that means. Stop rehearsing some negative thing in your mind over and over. You know, really, literally, it says stop letting your heart be troubled. That's how we could translate John 14:1. But we say, let not your heart be troubled. Same intention when you sit it down. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's not like I'm asking you to do something you're not already thinking, because I've already raised folk out the dead. I done walked on the water. I told a hurricane, stop. Don't do that. Peace, peace, Tim. Who you know like that? I don't know anybody like that. Amazing, isn't it? You fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And all the women and children. You showed us that you were God. There is not going to be no hunger with you around. You're generous.
Yes.
Gave sight to the blind. Did stuff we know. You just getting off. Then you told us, teach, go into all the world.
Yes.
Teach and baptize.
Yes.
That's what we call the church.
Yes.
The church is a teaching, baptizing facility.
Amen.
Can't get this done by the government or any other agency, just the church.
Amen.
Amen. And he said that that's what we're supposed to do, and all the time, and not by yourself, because he said, oh, I am with you.
Yes.
Always, even to the end of the world. So it's not going to change. Our program will not change.
Amen.
It's teach and baptize. So what am I teaching them, Jesus? That's what my question was in prayer, in case you want to know. He said it like this, as you have here on the sheet that we put before you. John 13:35, which is our verse for the year. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Learn how to love on each other. That's the opposite of what the world wants to do to you. The world's looking for ways to get over on you, to do everything other than love on you.
That's right.
You see, or if they say they loving on you, it's not the kind we're looking for. Some kind you don't want or don't need. You see? So he says, learn to love one another, even as I have loved you. And how did he do that? By taking care of all their needs and being there to end everything they had to go through. And so he wanted us to do that. So that's what we've been talking about here. So as we approach the season, this coming season is the commemoration of the crucifixion of the only begotten Son of God, who is Jesus the Christ, as we call him, and his provision and open display of his perfect love for all people. That's what the cross was about. He said, I'm going to get into public and stretch forth my hands and tell them I love them. I'm going to hang between heaven and earth. Between God and all the people who believe in me. And I'm doing it for all y'all, whether you believe in me or you don't. But I just want my disciples to tell all y'all, even if you don't, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And why should you believe anybody else if I'm the only one who did all these things? Especially getting up out the grave. That's why you ain't seen nobody do that one, have you? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he had reason why he told his disciples to do this. And so Jesus offered himself, it was his provision of an open display of his perfect love for all people by offering complete atonement. That means full satisfying payment to God, his Father. That's what atonement is. In other words, John calls it propitiation. In other words, God is fully satisfied only by what Jesus provided. Think about that. So I can't provide anything. I don't have it in myself. All the folks on earth can't heap up everything they have and satisfy God. Only one way God can be satisfied, and Jesus provided that. That's what we call propitiation. It's a big fancy theological word, but it simply means he paid off God on your behalf, and God accepted it. That's the big deal. God accepted the payment of Jesus on your behalf if you believe in him. And so because of that, everyone who believes in him, let us consider this most important event in the history of time. That's what I'm saying. You know, because you know why? Nothing else more important has happened. Can you think of anything more important than what is my eternal soul going to do? And how am I going to make it? Not only that at that time, but how am I going to make it in life? With all the obstacles in the world. So this event is the most important event. And you know what? The world agrees with it. They just don't say it out of their mouth. But every birth certificate has a date based on when Jesus came. Every tombstone has a date based on when Jesus came. And every document that's signed every time the bell rings on Wall Street, the clock is ticking off seconds. It's 2019 years since Jesus was here. So that's important. That's the most important event that has ever happened in the history of time. Somebody may want to tell you something else, but don't believe it. Because only one person has done that. The world is configured around him all over the place. It's not just in the United States.
Only one.
It's in China, Australia, Bulgaria, name somewhere. The clock is ticking off seconds from when Jesus came. So as we do this, let us make a connection with this fact. to our ongoing theme for the year, which is about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ according to Jesus himself, as he stated to his disciples, as we have said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." So the true meaning of that is learning to love like Jesus, simply put.
Yes.
And so we're going to look at that now from a different perspective based on the holiday that's coming up on us. It's a holy day.
Yes, it is.
That we celebrate.
Amen.
But you know what? When you saved, every day is a holy day.
Amen.
When you get out of the bed in the morning, you're going to say, "This is a holy day. This is a day like we sang that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care who rings the phone or knock on the door. This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. So think that way. See, we have to change how we think.
Amen.
Start thinking the way God would have you think.
Amen.
This is the day that you made. Uh-huh. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
And so what we call this first Advent is the most bold, comprehensive statement that God loves you and me this much.
Yes.
And Jesus does too. Yes. You know, Jesus had perfectly free will. He did what he did because he wanted to.
Yes.
But he also did it because the Father wanted him to.
Yes.
So I'm doing what the Father has called me to do. He sent me to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he and I agreed that this is the way it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when we did that? Before the world began.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Before we made anything. That's amazing. We have trouble with that one. But God is omniscient. He knows everything.
Yes, he does.
That means there isn't anything he does not know.
Right.
See? And before he made anything, that's why we call this message Love from the Throne Room. That's where God presides when he was all by himself, face to face with his Son and with the Holy Ghost. The Trinity, the Holy Trinity, we'll talk about that a little later. And he said this was from the throne room, but it's leading to the cross. Because God knew that sin would corrupt the whole creation.
Yep. Yep.
It was not a surprise to God when sin corrupted the creation.
Right.
Not a surprise today. We keep saying, "Oh, it's worse than it's ever been." And in some ways, it's better than it's ever been. If you're saved.
Yeah. That's right.
If you're saved,
yeah,
you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first heard that, I said, "Saved?" Somebody asked me, "Are you saved?" I'm thinking, "Saved? I don't get it." Because I was blind. And that's what the songwriter said when he said, "You know what, I once was blind, but now I see. I understand now. What does it mean to be saved?" I said, "Saved? Saved from what?" Didn't really get it. You know what, you're saved from a lot of stuff.
Right.
The biggest one is you're saved from eternal damnation and separation from God.
Right.
An eternal hell. That's one thing Jesus saves you from. Let's call that one of the big things. But you're also saved from distress, worry, confusion, no direction, walking around in a circle like I was doing for so long, doing nothing like a dog following his tail. I'm following my tail, but I ain't going nowhere. Somebody wrote a song about you're talking loud, but you're saying nothing. That's not Bible, but it was true. A lot of that stuff going on. And didn't understand. What do you say from? You got to have some direction in your life. Somebody else sang a song, "Do You Know Where You're Going To?" I don't know who sang that either, but y'all know what y'all know these songs. Some of y'all do. But in either case, I didn't know where I was going and what I was doing. So now I have a direction. I got a course. I got a path. And I'm on that. And I'm walking. And we call it the straight and narrow in the family of God. Try to walk right and do right. And live right. And share it with somebody else. Because God is abundant and he wants everyone saved.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's our mission.
Yeah.
I think about some folk I know who don't realize that they need to be saved. Like I did. I was blind as a bat. Back then, had no idea. Somebody asked me, "Are you saved?" Well, I don't know about that. What's up there? If you don't know it, you don't have it.
Right.
Like somebody asked Louis Armstrong one day, he was blowing that trumpet. He said, "Man, how you make that trumpet do that?" He said, "Man, if you got an ass, you ain't got it, baby." That's what he said. "If you got an ass, you ain't got it."
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way it is with being saved.
That's right, man.
If you got an ass, you need it.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't understand what you need to be saved from. So let's talk about this love from the throne room leading to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's just a mind-blowing thing. We talked about it this morning a little bit in our new member group about how God Almighty in eternity past decided to send his son out of eternity. Jesus always existed, the Bible teaches. Some people try to make Jesus' life begin in Bethlehem, and we're going to look at that here too, and say, oh, he just began in Bethlehem, and then he died in 33 A.D., and that was it. Well, no, 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 no. Let's look at what God says where Jesus came from. He came from eternity.
Yes.
He was in the throne room face to face with the Father. And he decided, they decided between themselves, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, how to deal with the sin problem that the devil would introduce after he made the creation. And so we're going to look at that here today. But God has already made the most bold and comprehensive statement that he loves me and you just like we are. Sometimes people think, oh, I got a bunch of changes to make before I can ever go get in the church. You know, if you know what, if you're waiting on that, you're not coming to the church. You need to get in now while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come in today. Don't wait another second. God's been waiting on you. You are not really waiting on him. And so basically we're going to talk about this because God does love us this much, and Jesus does too. So let us have a look today at a topic suited for this wonderful season in a message that I've chosen to call Love from the Throne Room Leading to the Cross. Let's read a few verses in the Old Testament here. Micah chapter 5. The prophet Micah writes just in these verses here, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now just a few verses in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in verses 14 and 16 kind of summarizes everything we just said in just a few words. Let's read. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Amen. That's the New Testament of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as I said, we're going to take time and talk about love from the throne room leading to the cross. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for this season, Father. We come to this season every year, and every year you teach us some deeper, new things about what you did. And you help us to have deeper faith. You said in your word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we pray right now, Father, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, that we might receive new information, Father, even though you've told us things, some of these things before. But let it sink down into our spirit today, Father, that we might have a new, deeper understanding of what you did when you sent your son from the throne room face to face with you in perfection, way to a grisly cross out on Calvary, and that you did that for us to show us that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Bless somebody in the room so they know that you love them that much, and that's why they need to be saved. Help them to understand what you did and why you did it, and the fact that you love them right now. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said together, amen. Amen. Wonderful thing that Jesus did. We celebrated, many people have chosen to call the season Easter, and I don't want to get into a big deal with that, and that's okay, I guess, as long as you understand what happened. It's not necessarily what it's called. Technically, we should be calling it Passover. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it is. God sent his son, and so that he could be crucified on a tree, so that whoever believes on him will not perish. In other words, he put the sin debt of all of us on one person, his own son, which he had chosen to do that even before he made the world. And it's an amazing thing. How do we find this out? It's in the Bible. So we look in the Bible and we find out what was going on before God made the world, before time existed. And do you know time is a creation and an invention that God made?
Yes, sir.
And the scripture says there's coming a day when time won't be anymore. We go out of time back into eternity and to an eternal state. Jesus came into time at a certain moment in time in order to redeem mankind, all those who believe in him. And that's what Micah's talking about here in this text. He says that Israel had been looking for Messiah because God began to promise him all the way back when sin first came into the world. But God prepared a way for Jesus. We've looked at this, some of you who've been with us on other studies. He prepared a way before Adam sinned, that he could take on flesh without taking on any sin. Boy, that's a deep thing. We don't have time to go in all that today. But he told him that in Genesis 2, after he gave him one law, he says, it's not good that the man should be alone. And so God made a way because he created woman not to share the bloodstream with the child before the sin hit. And we said that last week, that he did that with sinless blood from Adam, who was holy at that time. That's why you see that in the narrative at that time. There's no sin, but God goes in to a sinless man and he makes a woman. And he makes her so she can bear a child, and she'll never mix her blood, which was sinless, with the blood of Adam. It won't happen. It doesn't happen today. Check that out. Read that out. Some of y'all ladies know about that because y'all who've had kids, you know that. You may have learned that it will be a dangerous thing for the mother's blood to mix with the child's blood.
Yes, it would.
It would be a terrible thing. It would destroy both of them.
Yes, it would.
So God fixed it so the woman's blood is separated from the baby's blood all the time. Wow. See, and that's just the way he made Eve. That's why he says it's not good that the man should be alone. But God knew he would need a way to make his son become flesh without sin. And that's what he was thinking when he did that. You see that? And you learn that by studying the word in the spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you that's why God did what he did. And it's still like that now. And they didn't even have science to understand what I just said. In those days, nobody knew that. No one knew that. But we find out later that this is the way it is, and so we know that God had to be the one who did it. So here in Micah, he says, but thou Bethlehem, going to verse 2, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he, speaking of Messiah, come forth unto me, the Father, that is to be ruler in Israel. See that? God has a scheduled reign of Jesus Christ, his son, who will reign in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. See that? That's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so Jesus didn't just show up, and that was the beginning of his life when he was born of a virgin in Galilee back 2,000 some odd years ago. Because he had been coming from everlasting, as this text says.
That's right. Amen.
Out of eternity he came into the womb of Mary. Therefore will I give them up until the time when that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Now see, that's what Jesus did. He came on earth, he dumbed himself down, for lack of a better way of saying it. Let's say he took off equality with God the Father. Because I'm going to get in a body.
Yep.
I'm going to come bring myself down, the Bible says, a little lower than the angels. See? And I'm going to do this in order to redeem man. I'm going to dress up in a flesh suit just like Adam.
Wow.
See, but except the difference is I'm not coming from the dust. I'm coming from the womb.
Yes.
That means I'm the only begotten son of God.
Right. Amen.
Because yes. That's the only child God ever had that came from a womb.
Right.
Adam came out the dust.
Yes.
Jesus came out of the womb of Mary.
Yes.
Through the secret entrance God had prepared all the way in the garden.
Yes.
See that? And every woman still bears that image right now.
Amen.
Every woman who bears a child does not share the bloodstream with the child right now. So we know what God was doing when we look back at it.
Oh, yes.
Historically, when he designed that anatomy, he made a way he could take on flesh without taking on sin. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at that. So it's a wonderful thing. And he was thinking about us even before the sin hit. No sin had happened yet when he did that. We mentioned that. And so now we see here in the Micah that it says he came from everlasting. And even from old, and his going forth are from old, from everlasting, Micah 5:2. Wow. So what I want you to understand today, these are some deep things that I wanted you to meditate on for the holiday season. Because we're approaching that time here, and coming up next week will be Palm Sunday, as they call it. Then we're going to go into the Passover Sunday, as I like to call it. And all my life it was called Easter Sunday, so I'm not going to beat that to death here today, but the correct term is Passover, because when that's what God started.
That's right.
He started in Egypt. He said, what you need to do is get a lamb, a one-year-old male lamb without a spot or a blemish, and you are to slay him, take his blood, put it in a basin, and strike it with hyssop on the lintel and on the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes in after you roast that lamb and have a barbecue, isn't it nice how God like you to have some fun? Go out and roast that lamb and have a barbecue. God throws parties. He don't want you to be sad. He said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to let your cup run over. See, goodness and mercy going to follow you all the days of your life. You might have a devil coming up on you, but they better look out. I like what Sister Julie said. Them twins going to get you. You come up back there. Goodness and mercy. They right there and they following me all the days of my life. And then you know what? My future is already secure. Why? Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing you can do to stop it, old devil, so you might as well leave me alone. Leave me alone, you can't stop me. Amen. Looks like my battery is dead here. So in either case, I want you to know God was planning this beautiful thing for you and me. So the Old Testament scriptures are fulfilled with references to the reality that God's intentions to give his son, Jesus, the Messiah, had been planned in eternity. And through the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Trinity was revealed, along with the fact that there are no surprises that mankind would fall into sin at the deception of the devil. God knew that already. But God the Son would take on flesh to provide redemption for everyone who believes in him, based on his perfect life and resurrection from the dead. So that was already planned. It was not a surprise.
My Lord.
God planned it all the way in eternity. Right. That it would go down exactly like that. And he wrote it in the scripture. Now this is something I need to add right here. And I'm trying not to be too long with you today. What I want you to know is that the scripture is breathed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so there's stuff in there. You probably might have read it like I did. Many times you read it. I talked to one guy. I said, "Have you ever read the Bible?" "Oh, yes, I've read the Bible." I said, "Well, why is it sitting over here on your coffee table covered up with dust? If you've read it, why, you got to keep reading it. The Bible is alive. You don't just read it like some novel and set it over there and that's, oh, yes, I've read the Bible." No, it doesn't work like that. The Bible is living. It's powerful. That's what it says, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder soul and spirit. And it teaches us to it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when you get in the Word, it's going to make you understand why you do what you do. And also give you tools how you can stop doing what you do. And how you can start doing what God wants you to do. All of that is in the Word. It's quick and powerful. You can read it today, pick it up again and read it tomorrow. Something else will jump off the page and hit you that you didn't ever say. I read this 100 times and I'm being blessed again today. So that's the way the Word of God is. See, it's a live, it's active, and we're going to be discovering stuff we never saw.
Right, right.
Every time we get into it, you got to go with an open mind.
Yeah.
Go with an open heart.
Yeah.
Realize God loves you. He's giving you revelation. You know what? He didn't leave it up to us once you got saved. You believe in Jesus, okay, do your best. That ain't what he said. You know what he said? I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Seal you with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
For the day of redemption. He's in you now. He will. That's what he meant when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be in you. Now, you know what? You can grieve me. I'm in there and sometimes you make some bad decisions and I'm grieved. But I'm not going to leave. I'm in here. I got an assignment with you to the day you breathe your last breath. I'm grieved. Either that or I'm going to say, hey, you know, you ought to do so and so. And you're going to go, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, the Holy Spirit is quenched. That's what it means to quench the Spirit. God put a good thing in your heart you ought to do. You ought to do this. And you go, man, I don't know. And you don't get it done. And it's not just you. This happens to me all the time. You have to learn to have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. God says, I'm putting him in you by faith. He even said this, Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So your ability to hear God's word comes from God. And faith that you have comes from God. It doesn't come from out the atmosphere and all that stuff you hear. It comes from the word of God. Rightly heard and rightly divided and rightly understood. And it's the Holy Spirit in you that gives you the revelation of what God is saying to you. That's why the whole room can be full of thousands of people and everybody gets what they need out of every passage. You might be realizing something now you never have thought of before. And your neighbor's thinking about something else that happened. That makes that clear. And we all got different stuff, but God knows who we are. He knows exactly who you are. You know what? He knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you to be who you are. He gave you gifts and talents, and he's blessed you to be who you are. And you don't have to worry about, oh, I need to be like Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is he's doing this, that, and other. I don't look at Jeremiah and say, thank God for Jeremiah. But you are a different person. I don't have to worry about what he's doing for him or for Michael Douglas. Oh, he did this for Michael. But you know what? He'll do it for you. What he did for Kelsey that she came up to boast on God this morning, he'll do it for you. You don't have to be special or any other kind of different person or go anywhere. I mean, we're all special to God. But I mean, he does it for everybody. Put it this way. This is a biblical way to say that. God is no respecter of persons. Anything he did for somebody else, guess what? He can do it for you. You have faith. You know what he said to a lot of people who he did stuff for? He said, be it done unto you according to what? Your faith. See, if you got faith, be it done unto you according to your faith. If you can believe, all things are possible. He told the one man, right? The man said, my son, he's full of a demon. And I asked your disciples and they couldn't do anything about it. So what can you do? What? Drop that bomb on Jesus. Jesus said, well, you know what? He said, some kinds only come out by prayer and fasting. And he said, well, Lord, he says, but all things are possible to him who believes. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Yeah, I believe, but I can't handle this one. See, he was willing to say, I have faith, I believe, but I must not believe enough. Help me believe some more. That's what we all ought to be saying. And the problem we got with somebody who we can't move, guess who can move it? Guess who can move it? Turn it over to him. And sometimes it's because of unbelief. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Have you asked God to get behind that thing and deal with it? Or are you just going around being mad because it ain't going my way? The way I want it. All right. I ain't listening to nothing I said.
All right.
And my question is, who do we think we are? And who do we think he is? And what he said, give it to me. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You got a big load. Don't know how this going to work out. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is like you yoke up with me. That's a small problem for me. It might look like it's a big insurmountable problem for you.
My Lord.
You don't have any idea how to deal with it. But he said, I got it. I know what to do with it.
Right.
And why I made it. I made this the person or whatever the situation is. I know what's up with it.
Yeah.
And I have an answer to it.
Right.
Just like I answered the problem of what we're going to do with sin when the devil brings it in. Before the devil brought it in, I was ahead of him already. I fixed it up already. So that when he dropped it in, I already got my solution in place.
Yeah.
It's in motion already.
Right.
See, coming on in and nothing can stop it. That's the thing you got to know. God has a solution that's already in place, but are you willing to turn it over? And that's what I want you to know. His love came all the way out of the throne room before the earth existed, and it was heading for the cross so that all of whatever it costs is paid for all who believe. And so Jesus was willing to take it. It's amazing to me that he was willing to take it. We talk about amazing grace.
Oh, yes.
How sweet the sound.
Yes.
To save a wretch like me.
Yes.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Yes.
Was blind, couldn't see it, but now I see. The prophecy of Micah is one of many scriptures that show us that Jesus is of the equal divinity. Now, that's important. I put that in some quotes here on your handout. He is of equal divinity. The problem with all the cults is they don't understand Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
They try to reduce him to somebody less than God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You can't have anybody save you but one. The Bible says there can only be one Savior.
One salvation.
God, the salvation and no one else.
Yeah.
The apostle said, this is what they preached in the early church. For there's no other name under
no
heaven
other name
which has been given among men whereby we must be saved.
Right.
Nothing but the name of Jesus.
Right.
Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That would be blasphemy if you ain't God, buddy.
Yes.
If you saying believe in you and you're not God, are you kidding me?
Right.
You better be God if you say that. Why he say, because in my Father's house are many mansions. Why, I thought you was born in Bethlehem. And I thought your mother was down there in Nazareth. And all that. But he said in my Father's house. I ain't talking about Joseph. I adopted him. He didn't adopt me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. How are you going to tell me what's in the Father's house, Jesus? Because I left the throne room to come down here and redeem you from all your sin. So he is of equal divinity of the eternal nature of God the Father, and also that he is the Son of Man. He's called the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. Wow, what a name. Son of Man. Why? Because he was born of a woman. That's how all the sons of men get here. Every one of us or came from another person. I like to tell this one to the evolutionists and watch them scratch their head. Hey, who do you know that was not born? It's a simple question. What? Yeah, who do you know that was not born? Think about it. Who do you know that was not born? Everybody I know was born. How you know? They all got a belly button. That's where they come from. From their mother.
Yep.
And that's what God established. And I don't see anybody evolving. All the monkeys I see are still monkeys.
Still monkeys.
They got one too. There you go. Praise the Lord. And so God the Father is also, it says here, he is the Son of Man, which is a designation that reveals his humanity. That was God's willingness to identify with me and you as human beings, which is for the many reasons required for our salvation, such as we have a need for an eternal high priest and a suitable representative of God. Whoever the Savior must be is going to get between all of man and Almighty God. He's got to represent him as equally as he represents us. So that's who the Savior had to be. That's why the Bible says he's the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the only mediator, the Bible says, between God and man. Because why? Because he's the only one that can represent God perfectly.
The only one.
Didn't have any sin, was perfectly holy.
Yes, he was.
Perfectly without a spot or a wrinkle. And that was from the womb to the tomb. Not just sometime, all the time. His whole life, from the womb to the tomb, he was without a spot or a wrinkle. He was just as holy as he was when he left the throne room. And he came to bear your sin and mine.
Yes.
God said, I'm going to provide him so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I've made him the only mediator between God and men.
Yes.
That's awesome, church.
Yes. Oh, yes, it is.
So he had to be as much man as he was God. He was equally God. That's why it says in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the Greek word is morphe, the exact representation of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. But he humbled himself and took up on him the form of a servant and was found in fashion as of a man, the son of man. And he humbled himself and subjected himself to death, not any old death, but the death of the cross. That's the most horrible, most painful way you could possibly die. The most humiliating and disgraceful way you could possibly ever die. I'm going to parade you in the public and beat the daylights out of you like you stole something. Nail you to a tree and lift you up high. Strip your clothes off of you and gamble for your clothes in the crowd. And you're going to hang there between heaven and earth and bleed and die. People spitting on you, ripping out your beard, pressing crowns of thorns in your head, and talking about you like a dog. All of that time. All day and all night. And I'm going to withhold the angels from helping you while you go through it all by yourself. Why? Because sin is ugly. And it needs to be punished. Jesus said, I'll take the punishment for all of them. If they believe in me, I covered them. That's why he's a priest that didn't offer the blood of bulls and goats. He offered his own blood as a sacrificial lamb without a spot or a wrinkle. So his humanity, which is the reason for these many things, he has to be our great high priest. He has to be a suitable representative to God to cure the breach between us and the Holy Father, God Almighty, successfully. No other priest could ever do it. You know what? The priest had to go make an offering for himself before he could go into the Holy of Holies with the blood and offering. Why? Because he sinned. And we better put a rope on your ankle, buddy, because if you sin and you don't go in there right, we might have to drag you out of there from under the veil. It's the only way. We might have to pull you out from under the veil. And that happened to some priests, we guess, we don't know. But as the Apostle Paul stated to Timothy, the mystery of godliness is great. Because God was manifest in the flesh, he said, that's the incarnation, justified in the spirit, which means that he witnessed or attested to the and by the support of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when Jesus was a man, he had to rely on the Holy Spirit to give him the power that he abandoned when he became a man. So he was relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the miracles, to walk on water, to give sight to the blind, heal the sick, to raise the dead, feed the multitudes. The Holy Spirit was given to him without measure. See, and so now he is being preached not only to the Jews who rejected him, but also to the Gentiles. And the Messiah, having successfully completed everything required to present all who believe in him to God without a spot or a blemish, all of that from the throne room of God into your life. So I want to let you know this is what God did for you. And I hope you love him.
Oh, yes, I do.
Because he loves you that much. He loves you so much you don't have to worry about how will my account be right with God. I just trust him. See, somebody said that, forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's faith. Trust him, believe him. Forsake any other way that you think you may have tried to come. God loves you. He's accepting you. The question is, are you willing to accept him?
Yeah.
He gave everything in order to accept you.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come at this time realizing you sent your son out of the throne room face to face in eternity to come all the way down through 42 generations and be born of a virgin in order to be crucified on a tree so that whoever believes in him, anybody, no matter what they have done, they come by faith, trusting in him, they can be saved.
Hallelujah.
And so, Father, we come today leaning completely on Jesus. We don't have anything. We like the songwriter, nothing in my hand I bring, but only to your cross I cling. Save us today, Father. Help us today, Father. Let your spirit have his way in our lives, in our minds, in our homes, in our hearts, in our demeanor, and in everything that we stand for, Father, and everything that you give us to do. Let your spirit be with us. And we give you the praise and the glory, and we thank you for saving someone under the sound of my voice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and church say it together.
Amen.
Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.